1. Ireland, 1432 AD. The problem with the 15th century was that no one seemed to have a sense of humor anymore. Though, to be fair, Ransley Thorpe, vampire, vagabond, and current fugitive from village justice, could feel his own sense of humor waning by the moment. It drained away with every burning stab of the silver crucifix that lay lodged in his back, between his ribs, and directly beneath his right shoulder blade. At the moment, he desperately wanted a word with whoever had decided a crucifix that could also be used as a dagger was a good idea. Surely Jesus of Nazareth would have had opinions on such a matter? Of course, Ransley suspected that Jesus of Nazareth would have opinions on quite a number of things the church got up to these days. Behind him, he heard shouting as the mob grew closer. A glance over his shoulder yielded a blurred impression of orange torchlight breaching the night's gloom, along with a sharp bolt of agony as the crucifix shifted inside him. He gritted his teeth and increased his pace across the gorse-choked heath. Running through the dark while being pursued by a pitchfork-wielding mob was, to put it in a word, humiliating. Normally, Ransley would have discounted the utility of agricultural implements as vampire-fighting weapons, unless the locals happened to possess silver-plated pitchforks to go along with their silver-plated crucifix daggers. Mind you, normally, he would have been long gone by now, swirling away to safety in the form of mist, untouchable by human hands. Sadly, that trick wouldn't work with silver embedded in his body, and while he might have been able to contort himself to reach the blasted thing and remove it if he'd had a few moments of peace for the attempt, it wasn't going to happen during a dead run across an uneven moor while being chased by angry villagers. Hell, he hadn't even managed to lace up his damned trousers properly as he ran. It was just possible, he mused, that seducing the blacksmith's daughter so openly had been a mistake. Though, again, in the normal course of things, the pitchforks wouldn't have concerned him. However, he'd seen at least a couple of scythes in the mix as well. And while his grasp of Gaelic was fairly shite, he was reasonably certain that some of the yelling translated loosely to, "off with his head." As methods of demise for a vampire went, decapitation by mouth-breathing villagers after being caught with his face buried between someone's thighs was not the sort of legacy he cared to leave behind. He grunted in pain. The silver plating of the crucifix was becoming a real hindrance, the flesh around it burning abominably each time his boots hit the ground. Idly, he wondered exactly how close the sharpened tip lay to his heart, because that would also be an embarrassing way to go. What he needed was some sort of plan, beyond running like a panicked hare pursued by a huntsman's hounds. The darkness was no hindrance to a vampire's vision, fortunately. Less fortunately, there wasn't much to see out here on the moor. For lack of any more promising avenues, he began to veer around in a wide arc, heading toward the far end of the village he'd just fled. By the time the local church became visible over the rise, he'd decided that this farce wouldn't have been worth the grief even if he had managed to finish what was promising to be a very enjoyable fuck. Which, you know, he hadn't. Rather than heading for the church itself, he pelted toward the cottage that sat in its shadow. As plans went, it was rather a nebulous one, but if he could burst in and mesmerize whoever was inside long enough to get them to pull the crucifix out of his back, he'd no longer be form-bound. At that point, he could fly away in a puff of vapor. Hopefully, before the mob burst in with scythes flailing. That constituted a plan, did it not? He put on a burst of speed, ignoring the warning twinge of lightheadedness as the silver continued to sap his strength. The cottage loomed in front of him. He skidded to a halt in front of the door and grabbed the handle, preparing to wrench it inward hard enough to break any lock or bar that might be holding it shut. It opened to his touch, unlocked, and he stumbled inside. A figure in plain vestments sat in a chair next to the window, sipping from a cup of wine. He'd been looking out across the moor as though it were daylight rather than darkest night. His long, golden hair gleamed in the candlelight as he turned his head to look at Ransley, one eyebrow lifting in an expression that dripped with disdain. He was Fay. Which was a bit awkward, actually. The door closed behind him with a soft thud.
Hello,
Ransley said in stilted Gaelic. I appear to have brought a bloodthirsty mob to your door. I'd apologize, but you know how it is. The growing lightheadedness and sense of his body being quite far away was becoming rather worrying. However, there were, to put it mildly, more immediate things to worry about. The sound of disgruntled voices gathering outside the door was punctuated by a sharp knock. At least the prospect of barging in on a man of the cloth meant they were being polite.
"Open up, padre," called a gruff voice. "That man is devil spawn, and no mistake."
The Fae rose from his chair in a single, lithe movement, letting out a barely audible snort that might have been amusement. Ransley scowled.
"I'm glad to see someone's sense of humor is still intact," he said,
surprised by the reedy quality of his voice. He did, however, manage to stumble to the other side of the cottage and melt into the shadows as the Fae swept past him to open the door. The robed figure filled the narrow entrance, blocking Ransley's pursuers as they tried to peer past him. Ransley could feel the tingling itch of Fae magic rolling off his unintended host in waves. And frankly, it wasn't doing a damned thing to help with his growing weakness.
"Good evening, my friends," said the Fae. "You appear to be confused. May I help you?"
The words swam in Ransley's ears. It was hard enough untangling the benighted language in the normal course of things. But the angry mutterings from outside grew less so, as the Fae's influence rolled over the gathered crowd and sank in.
"A demon, you say?"
the Fae asked, as though he'd never heard of such a thing.
"No, you're mistaken. There's no such creature here. Perhaps you'd all be better served retiring to the tavern for a drink and a warm fire. It's far too bleak a night to be tramping across the moorland by torchlight."
The buzz of voices grew confused, and sure enough, the mob began to disperse one by one, heading back toward the main part of the town because it suddenly seemed like a wonderful idea. Ransley would claim to find such wholesale warping of human will distasteful, but doing so would make him look like a terrible hypocrite. When the last villager had wandered away, the Fae closed the door and turned to him. An unnaturally green gaze raked him up and down, taking him in and finding him wanting. Ransley cleared his throat awkwardly.
"Thanks ever so much for that. Now, I don't suppose I could trouble you to pull this silver crucifix out of my back, after which I'll happily leave you in peace."
The Fae looked down an aristocratic nose at him.
"No," he replied. "I don't suppose you could."
"Didn't think so," Ransley said in resignation.
"So, are we fighting then?"
At which point, an invisible force slammed into him like a punch to the face. He fell over without ceremony, gray splotches spreading across his vision as booted feet strode toward him. The splotches grew and darkened alarmingly, until Ransley slumped against the cobblestone floor, insensible. When he woke, it was no surprise to find the crucifix still burning in his back. Nor was it much of a surprise to find himself bound hand and foot to a sturdy wooden chair, too weak from silver poisoning to snap the thick coils of rope holding him. It was, however, mildly surprising to discover that his captor had taken care to arrange him in the chair in such a way that the exposed portion of the crucifix protruded through the empty space between the slats that formed the chair back, rather than letting his weight rest against it and drive it even farther into his body. The Fae sat across from him, looking at Ransley like he was some sort of inconvenience to be tolerated only reluctantly.
"What are you doing inside the Pale, bloodsucker?"
The Pale was a term coined to describe the ever-shrinking corner of Ireland still nominally held by the English, currently comprised of Dublin and a bit of the surrounding countryside. Ransley did, in fact, have a good reason to be here, but it wasn't one he had any intention of sharing with the Fae.
"What am I doing here?" he echoed. "Being stabbed, chased by a pitchfork-wielding mob, and tied to a chair, mostly. Though there was a very promising bit of sodomy earlier in the evening."
The Fae stared at him for an uncomfortably long time.
"Your accent is appalling," he said eventually, switching to English.
"The Gaelic tongue is appalling," Ransley shot back. "Did you know that if you put a Scotsman and an Irishman in the same room and have them both speak Gaelic, they'll only be able to understand each other about half the time? It's the same language, for God's sake. What the bloody hell is that even about?" He squirmed, ostensibly testing his bonds again, but in reality, attempting to hook one of the short arms of the crucifix on the nearest slat in the chair back. The attempt sent a fresh gout of flame burning through his right lung, rendering speech momentarily impossible.
"Are you here at the Daemon's behest?" the Fae demanded, his brows drawing together like storm clouds. "The court does not look kindly on enemy agents approaching so close to the gateway in County Meath."
Ransley froze, feeling the edge of the crucifix catch against the wood. He couldn't keep the faint wheeze out of his voice as he quipped,
"Excuse me? Do I seem like the kind of person a demon would send on any sort of a serious errand? I mean, look at me. My trousers are unlaced, and I was being chased by torch-carrying villagers."
The Fae opened his mouth, paused for a moment, and closed it.
"You're playing for time," he realized.
Ransley gave him a wolf's grin.
"Got it in one," he said, baring his fangs as he arched his spine away from the chair with a sharp jerk,
pulling his body free of the blade.
"Bye now. Thanks again for the help."
The Fae's eyes narrowed, but Ransley had already transformed into mist and swirled through the gap around the door, disappearing into the night even as the silver crucifix clattered to the cottage's stone floor.